It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In John chapter 12, we read how that Jesus had gone back to Bethany, and he was at the home of Mary and Martha. And there was also a person there whom he had raised from the dead. And that person was Lazarus. They had a supper. Mary took a pound of ointment and was spikenard. It was very costly. And she anointed the feet of Jesus. And she wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment, according to verse 3. This was showing great respect and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We keep reading how that some people came to see Lazarus. They came to see Jesus. Some came to see if Lazarus was still alive. Some came to see if he'd actually been raised from the dead. They thought maybe it might have been a trick or something that had gone on that they wanted to see for themselves. And we read in verse 10, it says, "But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death." Remember, they wanted to kill Jesus. After he had raised Lazarus, things really got something going for these scribes, Pharisees, those religious leaders. And what I mean by something got going there, it put them in a position where they thought that their religious authority was going to be taken away by Jesus Christ. And remember, Caiaphas, the high priest, said, "All you got to do is kill him, get rid of him." Well, now we read, not only did they want to kill Jesus, who had raised Lazarus from the dead, they wanted to kill the evidence. And that evidence, of course, was Lazarus himself, who was alive. Verse 11, John chapter 12, "Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." Well, they got saved because they had seen the miracle that Jesus had done. And this reason Jesus did miracles, so that people could be saved, so that they would believe on him. He is the Son of God, and he came to seek and to save those who were lost. Verse 12, "On the next day, much people," this would be after the supper, "the next day people were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. When they heard this," verse 13 says, "they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" See, some of these people thought that Jesus would set up his kingdom right then. Well, that wasn't going to take place. They were looking at the physical. And Jesus was trying to tell them that he wanted them to experience the spiritual. He wanted them to know him as Savior, as God. In verse 14, it says, And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." Well, notice now, this is a prediction that was made many years ago, that Jesus would come riding through the town, through this area. And we know that it was prophesied that these people would do exactly what they're doing. And I told you before that Jesus Christ would go to the cross. These same people who were crying Hosanna to the highest, some of these same people, not all of them, I believe some of them got saved, but some of these people who had cried Hosanna, "Blessed is King of Israel," they were celebrating Jesus Christ. Some of these same people would be screaming out later on, "Crucify him, crucify him," because he had not set up his kingdom, his earthly kingdom at this point. Of course, he will later on. Now, verse 16 says, "These things understood not his disciples at the first." His disciples often stood back and wondered what was going on. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Once again, the Old Testament had prophesied of Jesus Christ coming into the world, The prophets of the Old Testament, they prophesied that Jesus would be born of a virgin, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. How that he would be raised, how that he would suffer many things, and how that he would go to the cross, he would give his life on the cross of Calvary, and he would shed his blood. This is all through the Old Testament. This is in the New Testament, and the New Testament unfolds the Old Testament as such. The New Testament is not a separate book. The Bible is one book. Now we have separations of chapters and of books of the Bible and things like that. But if you read the book, the entire book, you'll see that it all fits together as one book. It's one account of Jesus Christ. It's one account of God. It's one account of man's sinfulness. It's one account of man's righteousness through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's many other things that unfolds. It's one book, and that is the Bible, the Word of God. It's God breathed. God breathed out the words. God used man to pen down the words, but God is the author. There is no mistaking that God does not make any mistakes, that everything written down, the prophecy of Jesus coming, the prophecy of his death, everything has happened exactly the way the Bible has said it would. So, we can depend upon the Bible as we look to the future and we look once again into the Word of God and see that Jesus would come one day and set up his kingdom. But he would not do it right now, as we're reading in John chapter 12. These people wanted him to, but it was not time for that. Verse 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. Now let's go back in verse 16. These things understood not his disciples. They didn't understand at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. And then it goes on, we just read, the people therefore that was with him when he was called, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. There were people who were witnesses of this. Later on, we read how that after his crucifixion, that over 500 people saw the resurrected Lord. Over 500 people at one time. That's not all the people who saw him. Remember, he appeared before the disciples. He appeared before the apostles. He appeared before Mary. He appeared to many people. But we read how that on one occasion, he appeared to over 500 people at one time. But notice, verse 18, for this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. Jesus had raised Lazarus from dead, and I made mention earlier in another study how that Jesus Christ, I believe, he did not come to Mary and Martha and Lazarus' grave to do things earlier, because he wanted as many people there as possible to see what he was about to do so that they would believe on him and be saved. Well, notice now that even after Lazarus had been raised from the dead, and many people, some had not seen that, but many had heard about this. Verse 18, for this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. And I believe many of those people got saved because they had heard that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And do you know, as a child of God, people hear about Jesus through us. They hear about Jesus when we go forth and we tell them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Remember in Acts chapter 16 how that Paul and Silas had prayed and the Philippian jailer came in. He was going to kill himself. And then Paul said, don't kill yourself. Do thyself no harm. We're all still here. And that jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Well, that's what we do, just as Paul and Silas gave forth the word of God, and just as Lazarus, who had been risen from the dead, just as the witness of his life, coming back to life, just as that was a witness, we witness today for the Lord. We're alive, and we can witness to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, that he is alive today, and that those people who would listen to us and really take it to heart, they too can be saved by Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can give out a tract. That tract will tell them, tell the person how that they can be saved. The many tracts. Now, you need to read tracts before you give them out and make sure that it has the plan of salvation. And by the way, it needs to be the King James Version that's being used, because that is the Word of God. It's the God-breathed Word of God that we use. So make sure the tract you give out is the Word of God and that it has in it the plan of salvation, telling people how to be saved. And then again, you can tell them from the Word of God itself. Open the Bible and show them how that they too can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They can hear us. They can hear us because we are witnesses of Jesus Christ. We have been saved, and we can share with them the things that they need to know in order to go to heaven. And the things they need to know is it's not by works of righteousness, which anybody does, according to Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. It's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. And once again, we go back in John chapter 12, and we read that it's through the mercy of God that Lazarus came forth, and it's through the mercy of God that people would get saved by realizing that He did raise Lazarus from the dead. Verse 19 says, "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is going after Him.'" Remember, you go back and read, and Caiaphas told these scribes and Pharisees and some of the Jewish people there, if you want to get rid of this guy, kill him. Get rid of him, or he's going to overthrow the nation. He's going to have people looking up to him when these people need to be looking up to us. You see, these religious leaders, they wanted to have the preeminence. But God always has the preeminence. These people believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the ones who had gotten saved. And these scribes and Pharisees, they were jealous. They wanted to have the preeminence, but Jesus Christ had the preeminence. Now I want to read that verse once again, verse 19 of John 12. "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing?'" In other words, they were doing nothing, these scribes and all these religious people. They were doing nothing to get rid of Jesus. "Behold, the world is going after Him." He said there's more and more people going after Jesus Christ. Something needs to be done to get rid of Him. Now we're going to read verse 20, and we may stop there for this time. I'm not sure. Verse 20 says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast." Now, I've said once before that there's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek in Jesus Christ. We're all one in Jesus Christ. And here we see the word Greeks. The word Greeks, as we read it in the New Testament, means anybody who is not a Jew. Anyone who is not a Jew. And notice, Jesus Christ didn't come to seek and to save only the Jews. The Bible says in verse 20, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast." Remember, the people were going by, say, "Hosanna to the highest." They were throwing these palm leaves down and palm branches. And these Greeks were there also, and they were witnessing these things. And they wanted to know more about Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today as your Savior? You need to know more. And that more is this, that He came to seek and to save you. That He wants you to go to heaven one day, be with Him throughout all eternity. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Call on Him today. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.